from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hour number two of the Rob Brown Show is underway. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Fan Upstate. Howdy, y'all. Great to be with you. I'm Rob Brown. The great one, Lonzo, on the other side of the metaphorical glass this morning. You are not only welcomed to, you are encouraged to join the show this morning. The text line is open, 71307.
On the stream, yeah, just not in person.
Yeah, don't just show up here. That's not how it works, okay? Not that that's ever happened or is actively happening right now, but don't just show up. It's not going to work that way, all right? You can go to the remotes if you want to do it that way, but that's pretty much it. 71307 is the text line. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, FAN, F-A-N. We'll read them on the air. You can call us on the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone at 844-FANFONE. That's 844-326-3663. You can also join us, as Lonzo pointed out so eloquently and accurately. You can join us on the live stream by going to facebook.com/thefanupstate. By going to the Fan Upstate on YouTube. By going to the Rob Brown Show on Facebook or YouTube. Or if you're a millennial, Twitch as well. We are streaming to all of those platforms and would love to have you join us on the stream. The goal is to pump the stream numbers up. All right. Let's just let you in behind the scenes. The goal is to get our stream community ever growing, because the more that, so, and I can tell you this for a fact, the more that Lonzo and I get the stream numbers pumped up, the more stuff we'll be able to do with the stream down the line. That includes being able to go live more often and out of our regular time slots. That means we will be able to do some special broadcasts in different situations that are available only to stream viewers, etc. So go to the live stream. And if you're at the office, You're one of those lucky few that have maybe an extra computer monitor that doesn't really have. You just put your email. Who gives a crap about your work email? All right. Use that extra monitor to bring up the live stream. You get to watch all 4 hours of the show all 5 days of the week and interact with the great one and I off the air during breaks where we have conversations that are sometimes brought to the air, sometimes not, sometimes appropriate, sometimes not. All right. Just a couple of fellas who know ball. And you're hanging out during the breaks. So make sure you check out our live stream. It is 7:03 and a half in the morning. That means you have 56 and a half minutes before you got to clock in and ignore those work emails in order to watch at 8 o'clock the last 2 hours of the show. At some point, you're going to want to take a break. You're going to want to step away and go talk some sports with your coworkers. I know it. You know it. The boss knows it. Everybody knows it. And if you're going to do that, you don't want to be the office idiot that goes, what are you guys talking about? And they go, these specific three topics. Well, if they do, you're going to be fine because you've got this. Water cooler cheat sheet top three sports stories that you need to know before you get going at the office. This morning, you know what? Let's just dive right in. No sense in delaying. No sense in waiting. Item number one. The NFL is BAC. K. Game one, week one, night one last night. The Kansas City Chiefs find a way past the Baltimore Ravens. 27-20 was your final. But boy, howdy. Was it a good one? Was it one worth staying up late for? If you didn't, your loss. The Ravens have an opportunity late in the game. Drive the length of the field inside the two-minute drill. Get down inside the Kansas City red zone. Get down inside the Kansas City 10 with four opportunities to punch one in and tie or win the game. Lamar Jackson does just that, drives the team the length of the field, gets down to the 7 on first down, a big high floater to the corner of the end zone to Isaiah Likely. He can't bring the ball in, goes to the ground, gets injured, stays in the game. However, second down, Lamar under pressure has Zay Flowers wide open in the back of the end zone, misses him. Third down. Exact same thing. Zay open again. Lamar misses again. Final play of the game. 4 seconds left on the clock. Lamar Jackson under pressure throws it up to the back of the end zone. Connects with Isaiah Likely, the big tight end and the unsung hero of the ball game. Likely comes down. The touchdown signal is raised. John Harbaugh on the sideline says, we're going for two and the win. I gotta tell you, my heart rate was about 1,000. It was spiked. I don't have a dog in this metaphorical fight, but boy, was I down for a team having the stones to go 2 point for the win or the loss. And then we get Collinsworth going, hold on, it's review time. Isaiah Likely was out of bounds by the tip of his cleat. The touchdown is pulled off the board. We've got zeros on the clock, and the Chiefs get out at 1-0 with a 27-20 final score. Lamar Jackson, 26 of 41, 273 and a touchdown through the air, added 122 rushing yards on the ground, 16 carries for him. The interesting thing for the Ravens offense, much like they did in the AFC title game last year when John Harbaugh forgot that Gus Edwards was on the team, they forgot Derrick Henry was on the team. Now, in fairness, Derrick Henry didn't really have the pop last night that would have justified another 10 or 11 carries for the big fella, 46 yards on 13 carries, but they basically went away from him at all in the second half. And it was, in my opinion, because the explosiveness wasn't there. And if the explosiveness isn't there, there's no point in utilizing him as a distraction for Lamar when Lamar was basically taken off whenever the hell he wanted.
Just want to, if you were keeping track, that's like the entire time just talking about the losing team.
Yeah, well, I was about to talk about your team,
which
you
we'll get,
sweet, you'll sensitive give
like,
soul.
You'll give like 30 seconds to. And oh, yeah, Kansas City won. Item number two.
And oh, yeah, Kansas City won. Item number two. No, I'm not going to do that. I was going to talk about the losing team before I talk about Mahomes being 20 of 28 for 291 yards, a touch, and a very bad interception, but it ended up not costing them the game. Isaiah Pacheco, 45 yards on 15 carries. He had a touch on the ground, but the guy that I think is worth talking about, not Rashee Rice, despite the fact that he had 103 yards receiving. I don't know if y'all know, but you do now. Xavier Worthy is fast. He's real fast. He's like inappropriately fast.
Like, let's hand the ball to him on an end around and no one touches him.
No one touches him. On an end around, you should at least have a guy that can, like at least it should be one-on-one, right? Like, at least you got to have a free safety that gets over the top, and the ball carrier's got to beat one guy. Xavier Worthy, who is, again, fast, just gone. You know, it's unbelievable.
You know in cartoons when something really fast goes by and you like see the fluttering of cloth on people's clothes? You could see that.
Yeah. Xavier Worthy's so fast that if he was a cartoon, his legs would have spun into animated circles while he got up to speed. That's how fast he is. It was ridiculous. He's a dude. Rashee Rice, 7 for 103. Travis Kelce, only 3 grabs for 34 yards last night. I got to tell you, kind of interesting, there were a couple of tight ends last night between Justin. I know Justin Watson's a wide receiver, but he was lined up in the wing and used as a tight end. And Noah Gray, who had 3 grabs for 37. Listen, there was a question. I didn't get into this in the preseason because I don't think it's going to be the case. But there were a lot of people this offseason saying that they think that there is a step back season for Travis Kelce coming this year, that he's not going to be the same guy this year as he is now rapidly approaching 36 years of age. And I'm not saying, listen, it's one game. Let's not go bananas. But Kelce was MIA most of the game
last night.
See,
I disagree with you there because Kansas City has more weapons this year. So there's more places for Mahomes to throw the ball, and that's what he's doing. Noah Gray had a really good year last year.
You understand, that's still a step back season. If he ends up with 500 yards and 10 fewer touchdowns, but even if it's justifiable,
you are implying that the step back is because of loss of ability.
I you can't tell me it doesn't have something to do with that.
It doesn't.
I mean, it's 35, almost 36.
There are more places to throw the ball.
Again, that is part of it. Mm-hmm. But if Travis Kelce was the dominant tight end he was 5 years ago, there's more places to throw the ball. He's still the primary. Last night, he wasn't the primary. Okay. In fact, let me put it this way.
Okay, it's over. It's over. It's over. Or is it? Because it's very disrespectful what you're doing.
All right, you're dramatic ass. Item number two on the water cooler cheat sheet. I can't talk about that anymore.
It is pretty dramatic.
Stop it.
I just got to say.
Item number two. 3-1, the Atlanta Braves fall to the Colorado Rockies last night. They cannot complete the sweep of the Pebbles. It drops them to 76-64 with about 21 games remaining on the schedule. The problem was not the L. Reynaldo Lopez takes the L, 8-5 now on the season. He went 6 innings, surrendered 5 hits and 2 earned runs. Cade 11 through his 6 innings last night, but between that and the one run that Luke Jackson gave up and the Bravos offense only getting 5 hits on the night, 2 of them from Ozuna, 1 from Soler, 1 from Laureano, and 1 from Arcia, nobody else able to put lumber on leather. They can't sweep the Rockies. And I told you they had to sweep the Rockies. It was not an option. Why would I have said that? Well, it's because of exactly what is happening now in the standings. The Braves were already cooked in the NL East. There was no coming back. If you would have gone to Philly in the last series, a 4-gamer on the road, and you would have taken maybe 2, but more confident taking 3 out of the 4, then I think you're alive in the division today, even with the loss of the Rockies. But you lost 3 of the 4. That dropped you to 6 games back. And now with the loss last night, the Bravos 8 games back of the division right now. That's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is that suddenly the New York Mets are hot. The Mets are on a 7-game winning streak. They have won 8 out of their last 10 contests, and just like that, as they hold the series tiebreaker over Atlanta as of right now. The wild card race sees the New York Mets and Atlanta Braves tied for the final wild card spot. If the season ended today, you would find yourself in a one-game playoff with the Mets for the final wild card spot, which also means that you would be down a starting pitcher for the wild card series, which would start a day later, meaning that you are at a disadvantage that is one of the few advantages you thought you had, which was that maybe the pitching can help you get out of the wild card round while the bats heat back up. But now it doesn't matter, as the Braves are 6-4 in the last 10, the Mets 8-2 in the last 10. The Mets have now caught the Braves, and the Braves, in a spot that I wouldn't have imagined was a possibility a month and a half ago, the Braves are now very much in danger of dropping out of the playoffs entirely. Now, as we pointed out, it's because the team is as banged up can be, but it's still a big disappointment. The Bravos start a three-game series against the Toronto Blue Jays today at home. They've got a makeup game against the Cincinnati Reds next Monday. Two-game set on the road at the Washington Nationals, then four against the LA Dodgers. That is at home, however, so fingers crossed, maybe they can at least split that series. Three on the road at Cincinnati, three on the road at Miami, back home for three against New York, and that series may very well determine who goes to the playoffs and who's sitting at home. The Bravos end it at home at the end of September with a three-game set against the Royals. But just like that, the Bravos now dangerously close to finding themselves out of the MLB playoffs, despite coming into the year with the highest expected win total in Major League Baseball. Let's get to the final item, item number three. It's a boring story because it's a legal story. It also might turn out to be one of the most impactful stories that makes the water cooler cheat sheet at any given spot today. The NCAA's landmark settlement in the House, Hubbard, and Carter antitrust law cases on hold. Why? Because in a two-hour virtual hearing yesterday, Judge Claudia Wilkin ordered both parties, defendants and plaintiffs, to, and I quote, go back to the drawing board, end quote, regarding language in the settlement that limits third-party pay to athletes, most notably from boosters and booster-led collectives. The plaintiff attorneys in the case, Jeff Kessler and Steve Berman, and the defendants, the NCAA and Power Conferences, will now attempt to reach an agreement over amending the language, something that the NCAA and Power League seem resistant to do, according to Ross Dellinger. They are expected to return in front of the judge in 1 month from now. According to Dellinger, he writes, quote, the current language is a central part of the settlement, NCAA outside counsel Rakesh Kilroo told the judge during Thursday's hearing. Without it, I'm not sure there will be a settlement to submit, he is quoted as saying. Based on the judge's comments, Kilroo later said we have to talk about whether we have a deal. For some around college athletics, this was very much expected. For others, it was a stunning result that may doom the settlements as a whole. Dellinger quotes one Power Conference school president as saying, quote, it's truly madness. There is no reason to settle under these circumstances. Go to trial and take our chances on appeal. The biggest issue here is that the settlement included the prohibition of third-party booster payments, which resulted in a more than 30-minute discussion between the judge, the NCAA's counsel, and the playoffs counsel. The conversation centered around what is one of the biggest questions related to the settlement. How will the NCAA and Power Leagues prohibit and police third-party booster payments to athletes? Such payments are happening now as boosters and collectives are distributing millions of dollars in what Dellinger describes as, quote, salary-like payments, end quote, to retain and recruit athletes, many of them disguised as commercial and endorsement deals. The settlement would potentially reduce or eliminate such payments, instead permitting schools to directly pay their athletes within a salary cap system. However, Judge Wilkins suggested that such a move may limit the pay that athletes are currently receiving, some of them, quote, large sums, end quote, and she expressed skepticism that the NCAA could enforce or should enforce its policy prohibiting pay for play. We'll talk more about this later on in the show. Let us take a break when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, week two of the college football season begins tomorrow. The Gamecocks of South Carolina are on the road in Lexington, Kentucky to take on what we consider a bit of a rivalry with the Wildcats, the Clemson Tigers, at home to host the Mountaineers of Appalachian State, a team that loves them, an FBS upset. We're going to break those two games down this hour. Rob Lonzo and you on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Rashad Beard joining us in a little bit over an hour from right now. We will break down the Carolina Panthers Week 1 contest on the road down at the New Orleans Saints. New Orleans Saints. I've been there before. We'll talk with Rashad at 8:40.
Wow. That's a diss against your team. You can't even say the name right.
Disrespect. You know what that means. Chiefs Saints Super Bowl this year. The disrespect bowl.
If you knew that was the way to get it done, how disrespectful would you be on the air?
How could I be more disrespectful than I have been? This team stinks. The head coach sucks. What, like, how much more disrespectful can I be? I don't know what short of calling them a bunch of...
Careful.
I can't be more disrespectful.
That was almost Morse code. You got to be. I mean,
Hey, let's talk some college football here for just a handful of minutes, ladies and gentlemen. And let us begin with, I think we can go ahead and say it's a bit of a rivalry game, right? We had earlier in the week, yesterday, Lulu Kessin, beat reporter who covers the Gamecocks for the Greenville News here on the show. And I said, Lulu, some of us around here consider this a rivalry game. And she said, look, I've only been here a couple of months covering this team, but I've been debriefed on Sunglasses Gate. That's what she called it. And she said, it's a rivalry. She said it's considered a rivalry. Maybe not a rivalry, obviously, on the level of the Palmetto Bowl. But the boys in the locker room, specifically the ones that have been here a couple of years, they want this one. I got to tell you, I hope they do. Because before we get into the X's and O's of the game itself, I'm going to say this, and I mean this. Bowl eligibility is on the line in this game for the Gamecocks. There is not a path to 6 wins that does not include a win in this game. There are a few games on the docket that I think are mandatory wins if South Carolina wants to achieve bowl eligibility. And I do believe we all said that's the expectation this year, right? You got one of those mandatory wins against Old Dominion. I believe that Kentucky is a mandatory win. Akron is a mandatory win. Vandy is a mandatory win. Wofford is a mandatory win. You must win those 5. If you do not win those 5, I do not see a path to 6. And that means even if you win those 5, you've got to dig out another win between LSU, Ole Miss, Alabama, Oklahoma, A&M, Missouri, and Clemson. You got to find me a win somewhere in that 7. Now, I'd like to think that with 7 games on the schedule, that you will be an underdog in all of them, all right? Like it or not, you will be an underdog against Kentucky, LSU, Ole Miss, Alabama, Oklahoma, A&M, Mizzou, and Clemson. One of those you can pull an upset. So you beat ODU, you're going to beat Akron, you're going to beat Wofford. I'd like to say you're going to beat Vanderbilt, but they knocked off Virginia Tech, and Brent Pry's squad ain't bad. They're not good, but they ain't bad.
I was going to say, yeah, but it's one game.
Brent Pry is on key with South Carolina. Virginia Tech and South Carolina are on the same level.
Are they?
I'm comfortable saying that. Yes.
Are they?
Yes. I'm comfortable saying that.
I don't know.
I do. I know ball. They are equivalent teams. So you have to beat Kentucky.
Sorry for my misstep.
It's okay. I'm here to correct when necessary. All right. I think you're in the same level. All right. Wesley said, what would the spread be if it was Clemson versus Kentucky? Probably a pick 'em, to be honest. Maybe Clemson by like 1.5, maybe 2.5 tops.
All right. Don't sell Clemson so short. Their defense is still really, really good.
Defense is really good.
Right.
No spark to the offense. That's why I do it. All right. So now this is a must-win game. So how do the Gamecocks win this game? I am going to start with a couple of things. The first one, as we have talked about a couple of times already, the first one is an intangible. The wide receivers have to get better, okay? You have to be able to trust them. If you're Lenoris Sellers, and I will say this is a mentality thing for the young man, getting game number 2 as the official and for sure QB1 of the Gamecocks. If I'm Beamer, if I'm Dow Loggins, if I'm talking to Lenora Sellers this week, do you know what I'm telling the guy? Keep throwing it deep. If you got a guy down the middle, do not let the dropsies from last week discourage you from taking a shot. Because I am going to say that if South Carolina is going to pull an upset in one of the 7 games that they are going to be underdogs in, it's going to take a big play. It's going to take a home run ball. It's going to take a shot somewhere. Much like last year when the Gamecocks had Georgia down at halftime. Remember that? Remember how good everybody felt? That's because they were taking shots, and in that game, they were converting. Now, unfortunately, you ran out of gas. You ran out of juice before you got towards the end of the game. But I think it's gonna take a couple of big plays. So I need the wide receiver core dialed in. If I'm Beamer, you know what I'm doing this week? I'm putting the wide receivers on the goal line. I'm putting the jugs machine at the 30. I'm pointing it at their chest. I'm cranking it up to 190 miles an hour, and I am firing 10,000 footballs at the chest, and we ain't stopping till y'all ain't dropping. That's pretty good. I just made that up on the fly. That's pretty good. I'm good at this. That's a big part.
Wow, a football firing squad. I don't know, dude. That seems a little excessive.
A jugs machine, all right? A jugs machine, and I'm putting balls between the numbers at 1,000 miles. I am Paul Skeensing you until you don't drop a football. That's it. Second off, because, and this is something that's been hammered on, Lenore Sellers was 43.5% completion percentage last week. That number, if you take the drops out of the equation, that number goes to about 50-51%. It ain't great. So if I'm Dow Loggins, I am making sure that I am playing to the strengths of Lenora Sellers. One of those things, move the pocket. I have to move the pocket. I've got to give Lenora Sellers. You know how I'm playing Lenora Sellers? And I know that this sounds cliche, and I know it's going to sound almost elementary. You know what I'm doing for Lenora's? What the Ravens did last night for Lamar Jackson. When they realized that the Chiefs' defense, and by Chiefs' defense, I mean Chris Jones, when they realized that Chris Jones was going to give Lamar Jackson hell last night, what did they start doing? The same thing, great one. I would like to take you back to 2 years ago when the Ravens played the Chiefs. 2 years ago, exact same thing. Chris Jones was owning Lamar Jackson. I mean, just owning the Ravens offensive line and Lamar Jackson. And what did the Ravens do? Because I came in here the next day and I made a big whole thing about it. The Ravens never had a set pocket in the second half of that game. That pocket was moving left or it was moving right. They were making Chris Jones not just have to outwork the offensive line, but have to outwork the offensive line on the move. They were adding an extra degree of difficulty for the defensive line and for linebackers, and it was to cover up the weakness of the offense, and also because they found out that Lamar, in that spot, was more effective on the run. I'm actually shocked we didn't see as much of that last night as I thought I might. I really thought last night in this NFL game, we would see the Ravens doing a lot of pocket movement. They did not. And I'm going to tell you right now, despite the fact that they weren't in a position to win this game, Lonzo, I'm super down on John Harbaugh right now. Super down. Now, we're going to come back to that later because that ain't what we're talking about here. What I am talking about is the reason I'm down on Harbaugh. And the reason that I'm down on Harbaugh is because of the fact that Harbaugh now, three consecutive Baltimore-Kansas City games in a row, has gone away from the things that would work for him. That's why, right? 3 games ago, pocket was moving, they stopped. 2 games ago, they were running the ball exceptionally well with Gus Edwards, and in the second half, they stopped. AFC Championship game last year, and last night, Derrick Henry, you never really utilized the guy, right? Would you give him 6 carries in the first half? And then he was like super sporadic the rest of the ride. I don't understand what it is about John Harbaugh that makes him keep going away from things that are strengths of his offense. What I need is Dow Loggins not to do that. What I need is Shane Beamer not to do that. What I need is these two to recognize the few places that they have strengths on the offense. There's not a ton. I'm sorry. I don't say that to be disrespectful or mean. There's not a ton of places where you have a strength. All right? Rocket Sanders inside the 10 is a strength. Utilize that. Lenora Sellers' athleticism
just
and mobility
is don't let Lenora go out and try to block 4.
Correct. Lenora Sellers needs to be on the move, like a lot. All right? The pocket needs to be moving. It needs to be shifting. You need to utilize what Lenora Sellers can do, which is stay behind a moving pocket, recognize where receivers are and throw it, or stay behind a moving pocket, realize I don't have a throw I trust, and then take off. Because if you're moving the pocket, you are forcing the second level of defense, linebackers, cornerbacks, safeties, third level, second level of defense, you are forcing them to move laterally, not vertically. Where Lenoris gets in trouble is when linebackers and cornerbacks start moving vertically, start coming up the field to him. If I can get them moving horizontally, left and right, to match up with Sellers, now I can say, hey, if it ain't there, plant that outside foot, turn up the field and get going and get you some movement, get you some room before the linebackers recognize, realize that Justin start stepping up to you. This offense has to be as horizontal as it is vertical, or Kentucky's going to kill you at the line of attack. And if you don't get that fixed, this one's going to be an ugly one. This is must win for you. You don't win this, you're not going bowling. It is that simple to me. All right, let's talk Clemson and Appalachian State when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Clemson at home taking on Appalachian State. And this is an interesting one because it's not a team in Clemson. Not a team that should be worried about Appalachian State out of the Sun Belt. Yet here we are.
Yeah, is there really worry? I mean,
is there so worry?
Maybe a tinge. I don't know. How good is App State this year?
They are the best team in the Sun Belt. They are predicted by the media to win the Sun Belt. They have absolutely got some dudes. They run their they return their entire wide receiver core. They return all of their skill position players with the exception of their running back. The only spot they're weak, and I will say this is the best thing going for Clemson this week. It's effectively an all-new offensive line. They bring back their left tackle, a kid by the name of Thornton Gentry.
It's a good name, though.
Fulton Gentry III.
Of course. Yes, quite.
Everybody else across the offensive line is new. So you got a lot of experience with the guys who touch the football, very little with the guys who don't. What's the strength of Clemson? Defensive line. Defensive line and linebacker. We know that, right? Barrett Carter, Peter Woods, like that's the strength of the Clemson defense. You're going to have to be carried by your defense. You're going to have to keep Appalachian State off the board. Joey Aguilar last year broke out, started the final 12 games at quarterback. They are running him back this year as a senior. So now, not only did he have a breakout last year, but he's also got a year's worth of experience under his belt. He broke App State single season records for passing touchdowns with 33, for passing yardage with over 3,700 yards through the air. They also bring back Anderson Castle, Mikhail Haywood, and Kanye Roberts, a trio of running backs who combined for 1,300 yards last year. Now, here's the thing. I said the offensive line for Appalachian State, relatively inexperienced, right? They bring back one starter from last year. Here's the problem. Over the past couple of years, Appalachian State has gone with a massive influence on coaching the offensive lineup, having a great offensive line. Because here's the reality. In Sun Belt football, offensive and defensive line is how you win, all right? When you get up to Power 4 football, you can win because you have a great quarterback. You can win because you have a great running back, and they can cover up an average offensive line. FCS level, Sun Belt level, Group of 5 level, a good offensive or defensive line is the reason that you will win or lose. Appalachian State defensively, and here's where the fun part comes in. Defensively, Appalachian State had 15 interceptions last year. Last year, they allowed the second fewest passing yards per game in the Sun Belt at 200 yards per game. Cornerback Ethan Johnson, a name Clemson fans will want to keep an eye on, second team all Sun Belt selection, broke up 11 passes, picked off one, 56 tackles last year as a sophomore. He is back, starting at cornerback this year. Nate Johnson, already one of App State's best defensive players overall. He's a South Carolina guy. He's a guy that may have a little extra oomph in the tank for this game at maybe not being considered. And I don't know if he was or not, but not getting a scholarship here. Like maybe he wants to prove, you know, he's one of those guys. I don't know that for certain. It's worth keeping an eye on Nate Johnson. Led the team in sacks last year with 7.5. Led the team in tackles for a loss last year with 8.5. He is 6'5" and goes about 235, built like a brick, you know what particular type of house. It is a young front seven for Clemson, though. So here's where I'm going. I'm going very conservative in the pass game. Now, That's not because I don't want to get more Cade more comfortable in it. I do. All right? I do. He had a couple of shots in that Georgia game that you almost went, oh, maybe he can throw the football. But this game, to me, is a wonderful opportunity. Because at this point, you're committed to Cade Klubnik for the season. All right? Like, that's your guy this year. This is a fantastic opportunity to give Cade Klubnik an opportunity to get comfortable in the pass game. I don't need you hitting home run balls here. If I am the offense, if I am Riley or Dabo, whoever is calling the plays at whatever given point during the game, I'm doing two things. Phil Maffa is getting 35 carries in this game. I'm running that man's leg off. Why? Because the front seven for Appalachian State is, if there is a weakness defensively, it is their weakness. It's a young front seven defensively. You got a couple of guys returning across the defensive line, but that's a seven that's made up largely of sophomores, some of whom got PT last year as freshmen, but maybe not a full season's worth, right? It is the weakness. Defensive backs are good for Appalachian State. So what I do not want to do, if I'm Clemson, what I don't want to do, great one, is overwork Cade Klubnik, is ask Cade to do too much. Because if Cade goes out there and he's really challenging this defense, and let's say theoretically in challenging this defense, he throws an early pick, maybe he throws a couple of picks over the course of the game, you're doing two things. Number one, you're giving Appalachian State exactly what they want. And number two, three things. Number one, you're giving Appalachian State exactly what they want, which in that point, you're feeding them, right? Appalachian State, I'm going to tell you right now, because one of the things I enjoy doing is going through and reading all over the message boards of the away teams. I like to go behind enemy lines a little bit and get a vibe for what the other team is vibing to. They believe they can win this game. Genuinely. Not like, hurrah, shish, boom, bob, let's go team. Appalachian State believes that they can come in and Michigan you, that they can come in and knock off a top 25 FBS team in their house. If you give them a couple of picks and let that defense start to feel like they're feasting a little bit, and that Momo goes up on the sideline, that emotion comes up on the sideline for Appy State, they become very dangerous. So I need 30 carries out of Maffa, and I do want Cade throwing the ball, but I'm not asking him to do too much. I'm asking him to go through the reads, and if it's not there, don't force it, because if you lose this game, it will be because Cade Klubnik has thrown one or more interceptions.
See, I believe that there's a legitimate fear, and there was before the season started, that Georgia might beat them twice. And if they would have...
Dabo literally said that.
Yeah, if they would have been competitive against Georgia, I don't think the fear would be warranted, but they were not. And they were in the first half. That was a good first half. It was a defensive first half. But the second half, they fell apart. Here's the thing. If they come out and they struggle a little bit with App State, that's going to give App State I told you, we can hang with this team. We can hang with it. And on the other side, Clemson might be thinking, oh, no, here we go again. And that's a formula to be upset. It is for sure. And it's not like they're coming. This is not a gimme by any stretch of the – I mean, come on. It's App State. And I know it was a long time ago when they did that, but you just pointed out how they're picked to win their conference. And they usually are whenever – every single year they're picked to win. I just – mentally, where is Clemson? Because that really will factor in.
So here –
because the coaches can pound it in your head, but it's up to the individual players. And it, through osmosis, if a couple guys are thinking a certain way, it can spread really quickly.
Oh, for sure. So there's a couple of thoughts I have there. I will start with this. I'm going to tell you straight up right now. I'm taking Appalachian State to cover. They're 17-point dogs. I'm taking them to cover. I think this game can be and probably will be within 17 points when it's all said and done. Because I do think that Appalachian State has a more than respectable, has a good offense. I think that they have defensively enough that they can create a turnover or two. And if they create a turnover or two and it kills off a little bit of whatever Clemson's got cooking and it builds up, whatever Appalachian State's got cooking, I think that can make it a little bit interesting. That number at 17 on the dot right now. So, after the game against Georgia, I watched the post-game presser, and one of the guys, one of the players that Clemson brought to the podium was Cade Klubnik. And Cade had his Tebow moment, all right? He got on the mic, and he said, look, whatever happens the rest of this season, whatever happens the rest of my career, whatever happens to me here, the one thing, and I'm paraphrasing, but I'm pretty close. He said, the one thing that I want to ensure is that the dudes on this team will never say I gave up, will never say I let them down, will never say that I wasn't going out there and putting it on the line for them. And you could see the rest of the guys up there at the podium kind of like shaking the head. Yeah, he said, look, I'm going to be in here early tomorrow. I'm gonna work harder this week than I've ever worked before. Now, I do think for a lot of players there is some level of like lip service platitudes. You know, you lost and you got smoked. Of course you're going to. What player is going to come out and go, eh, that sucks, but like they're better than us. What did you expect? We're going to go back to the huge, right? Like nobody's going to say that. So on one hand, yeah, kind of useless platitudes. On the other hand, I'd like to believe that's true. And you will see a different variety, a different mentality out of this team than we saw last week against Georgia. Where, again, let's point out, they played real good football for 2.5 quarters. Oh, they played football good enough to keep them in a game with Georgia for 2.5 quarters before Georgia went full Georgia on them.
Well, at halftime, you're still thinking, okay, which team's going to come out? Whoever makes those adjustments?
For sure.
Because it was that close.
For sure. Which is, by the way, one of the reasons that I have said this week, and we may say it again on Monday, I'm going to keep it a buck with you. I think in-game coaching is a part of the problem for Clemson right now. Right? Like, I think that Dabo kind of has the Saban mentality of, and I pointed this out all the time, Nick Saban was not a great in-game strategist. He wasn't. Nick Saban did two things. He had the most disciplined team on any football field his football team was on. He had a disciplined team. Number one. And number two, he surrounded himself with guys who are X's and O's guys, and he gave them the reins on game day. Go back and watch any Nick Saban game. You'll see him with the headset. You'll see him talking. You'll never see Saban with the Waffle House menu. You'll never see it. You'll never see him with the iPad or with the what do they call it? Dry erase board. You'll never see that. He lets his dudes. I don't know that Dabo Swinney does that. I think he wants his fingers in there, and I don't think they X and O, or at least it doesn't feel like they X and O as well as you'd like them to. Dabo looks at it the way Nick Saban looked at it for Alabama, which is, we're going to play our game, and we're just going to, it doesn't matter what you do, we're going to do what we do so damn well that you can't physically stop it. But the reality is, you ain't Bama. You don't have the talent Bama had during the Saban era. And frankly, I don't know that the discipline is there like it was for Nick Saban in Alabama. So I don't think that style works, which is part of the reason I have said a number of times, I think the in-game on-field coaching is a bit of a problem for Clemson right now. Part of the reason that team has not reached the lofty expectations the last couple of years. I'll tell you what, Appalachian State, by all accounts, and Diesel will be able to speak more about this coming up this afternoon on Wire to Wire from 3 to 7 with Diesel and Cole Bryson. He, you know, he's a big Appy State guy. He'll be there Saturday.
No, are you serious?
I know. It's wild. It's wild. He'll be able to tell you more. But one of the things that Appalachian State fans pride themselves on is the fact that they've got a coaching staff that adjusts very well. And if they do that against Clemson and Clemson can't answer, it could get interesting. Athletically, on paper, you're demonstrably better than Appalachian State. You are a better football team on paper. My question mark is, are you going to be a better football team upstairs? Are you going to be a better football team in terms of discipline? Because defensively, this is a very disciplined team. It's a very athletic team. And it's a team that prides itself on creating havoc and causing turnovers. If you ask Cade to do too much, and let's say he throws an early pick, opening drive, second drive, third drive, he throws an early pick, and that goes to his head a little bit, we might have an interesting football game on our hands.
How much do they have to win by to quell that little that fear that's growing
cover
in Clemson fans?
Cover.
Okay.
Cover. You have to listen. The cover is this is what I say when I talk about spreads and whatnot. The cover is what is expected of you. Because you got to keep in mind, it's a combination of two things. It's a combination of the line setters and their algorithms. So you got the data analyst side of it and what the fans expect. The fans expect you're going to win this game by 17. You mash those two things together, you get a number. It's your point spread, 17 in this case. It is expected for you to be 17 points better than Appy State. If this team wins by three or seven, this was what I said about South Carolina. You were 21-point favorites. You escaped with a four-point victory. That is a emotional loss, even if it's a win on the scoreboard. That's why I hammered them earlier. If Clemson comes out and wins this game by three or four or five or 7 points, we're going to have the same conversation about them next week, even if we all agree that Appalachian State is good. Good, like Lonzo when he reads the Sports Flash.
Wow, compliments. That's weird. The difference between a win and a loss was the length of a toe for the Baltimore Ravens, who were knocked off in the first NFL game of the 2024 season by the Kansas City Chiefs. No, Kansas City did what they were supposed to do. They won. 27-20, Lamar Jackson threw for 273 yards and a touchdown and ran for 122 yards, but missed two open wide receivers in the end zone, and they lost. Patrick Mahomes had 291 yards through the air with a touchdown and a pick, while Chiefs rookie Xavier Worthy scored both a rushing and receiving touchdown in his debut. Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott told the media yesterday that he believes a new contract with the team is likely, telling media that while he doesn't have a timeline for a deal, he believes his agent and the team are working daily to reach an agreement. Make sure you tune in tomorrow at 4:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Charleston Southern Buccaneers. It's Furman versus Charleston Southern right here on your home for Paladins football. The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.